Right now, we've got Ashley Campbell, Orange County Conservative, here in the studio to talk about something that happened actually last week, which is International Women's Day and the Day Without a Woman protest.
That's right.
Effectiveness and goals and everything else. So how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing okay. So we were emailing back and forth and talking about this this topic earlier, and I was excited about it because it actually gives me the opportunity to... I was thinking about the demonstration last week, and especially so many people either leaving or saying they were going to be absent from Chapel Hill Carver City Schools, that
That's
they ended
right.
up having to shut the entire district down. What was the other district that they had to... There were two. There was another one.
Well, there were at least a few.
Were there a few? I heard about two.
I don't know about another one in North Carolina.
I don't
but
think
I know
so.
There's Alexandria, Virginia.
Okay.
One in Brooklyn, I believe.
Okay.
So,
it might have been Alexandria that I heard about, because I thought I heard about Maryland, but right across
Could
the border.
Could have been in Maryland as well, but those are at least three.
But we had actually, we had talked about the effectiveness of demonstrations and the difference between sort of violent protests and nonviolent protests earlier.
Yeah.
And thinking about the demonstrations and the closure of school districts and sort of the disruption that caused made me go back and rethink that. And, you know, regardless of what the specific immediate effectiveness of having to shut down the school district for that one day is, I think it got people talking about the issue and about the fact that it was International Women's Day and the fact that there were people out and about talking about these issues in a way that otherwise would not have been done if it had just been an ordinary day with a couple people gathering on a lawn somewhere with signs. So,
I don't think I realized there was an International
Women's
Day.
Yeah, we don't usually talk about it. So the purpose of a demonstration is to disrupt. Like, we talk about protests, and every time there is one, whether it's people gathering on the street or marching, or the police have to close down the roads, or the police have to hurriedly close down the roads because there are people who just decide to go in there. All of it, every time that happens, people say, oh, this is being disruptive, this is bothering, this is intruding into my life. But that's the purpose. Like, disruption is the reason for the protest. It's not the purpose for the protest is that there is either an injustice or at least a perceived injustice that isn't being addressed because people are complacent about it. So the only way to get people to not be complacent about it is to shake them out of their comfort zone. And the only way to do that is to be disruptive in some way, which doesn't mean that disruption always works, but it can't work unless there's a disruption, which is the point that I want to add on to our conversation from last time. But that's where I am. So how about you?
Sure.
Yeah.
No,
that doesn't necessarily have anything to do with the particular issues for International Women's Day, but just in general.
Right. Well, it touches on the various methods that groups of people can use to get their point across. And back in January, the day after the inauguration, we saw, you know, women's marches all across the country, all across the world, actually, I think. And that seemed to me to be a reaction against Trump's, you know, sort of sexist remarks and like he's not, you know, very had nice things to say about women sometimes. And, you know, trust me, conservatives, we don't we don't want our politicians to be like that either. We were not impressed by those remarks. However, there seemed to be, you know, mostly a left-leaning reaction against that, against his presidency. And that's fine. You know, the marches, I can understand that. It's, you know, Hillary Clinton didn't win the presidency. I can understand everybody being that was supported her being very upset. But then now we have this escalation, really, up from marches to a strike. And the strikes are meant, you know, the goal is to be economically disruptive.
Yeah.
So it's unlike marches where they're really quite organized and mild-mannered, typically, where people have to get permits from their local police department. And, you know, as you were saying, the police take care of everything, blocking off the streets and such. And it's all very organized. You know where things are going to happen. It's notice is given well in advance. But a strike is a little bit different in that it's actually targeting people in order to get them to react
right
to this perceived injustice. Now, that hits upon what a lot of conservatives, libertarians in the country are confused about, because we don't see the problems that the people who are participating in the strike see, or we don't see them the same way. And I'll just give an example real quick. Because I was going back and forth about some, I guess, more left-leaning people online, and they were trying to explain the reasons mm-hmm. why this was happening, because I'm like, why? What? Really? What gives? And, you know, so they brought up the gender wage gap,
mm-hmm.
which I would say is a myth. And to that end, I sent them this video that's produced by Prager University, which has a billion YouTube videos that are all conservative in nature, but they're trying to very simply in a couple of minutes explain issues like this, very pertinent political issues. And this one happened to be narrated by Christina Hoff Sommers, who's a university professor and a noted feminist. She's very, you know, against political correctness, and so she's kind of a and she works for the American Enterprise Institute, so she's kind of a friend to the right as well, even though she identifies as a liberal.
Mm.
And it went on to explain how, you know, the gender wage gap, as it's commonly repeated, is a myth. I mean, the whole 77 cents on the dollar thing, and how so much of it comes down to choices that women and men make, you know, the fields they go into, or the hours worked, the, you know, breaks in their career to take care of children and things like that. But so much of the difference, almost all of it, in fact, comes down to those choices, and how in some parts of the country you don't have this gender wage gap, and then how economic changes have been taking place rapidly over the course of the 20th and 21st century that puts women on a more equal playing field. You know, we've gone from manufacturing to more service economy. Technology helps women participate in the workplace more. I went into all of that. And I said, you know, here, this just proves your point. And they said, oh, everybody should watch this. This just totally proves the point of how unfair it is. And I'm like, but it's going on to say that women have made these choices, and they're saying, well, women shouldn't have to make these choices. They should get paid for what I would argue is work that they don't do, like when they take, they want to be able to take paid leave off of work, mandated paid leave, for example, to raise a family and not have their careers interrupted. They want daycare paid for so they don't have to interrupt their careers. And things like that. So it's interesting because we watched the same video but had completely different reactions to it.
Which is, it's an interesting sort of like a microcosm of just polarization, right? I think the sort of rejoinder to that would be, and we got Ashley Campbell, by the way, that we're speaking to right now. Sort of the rejoinder to that would be, okay, so maybe the, and I haven't, honestly, I have not seen the video, so I'm trying to react to something I haven't seen yet. So
bear
with me on this, and, you know, take it with as many grains of salt as you want. But like, if the 77 cents on the, is it 77 cents that people are, I've heard 73, 78,
that,
whatever, like 70 something, right?
Like that, yeah.
Cents on the dollar. May not necessarily be to address that issue, may not necessarily be a question of like going in and saying, okay, right now we're going to completely obliterate the gender pay gap. But if it's a product of choices that people are making, and men and women are making different choices, why are men and women making different choices?
Yeah.
What is it that is leading people to make different choices? Like, women want to take more time off to take care of kids. Why is it that we sort of socially assume that it's the woman who is going to take the time off and put a hold on her career in order to take the kids? Can it be equal? Could it be the man sometimes? Like, that might be the issue that needs to be addressed.
Yeah, no, I think it's important to ask those questions, of course, rather than just saying, like, okay, well, here's some meme I saw on Facebook. That's just how it is.
Oh, but it's
can
such
we
a great
get the
meme,
government
though.
To do something about it? Yeah, but, you know, let's ask, you know, first of all, is it really that way? And then why?
Yeah.
So yeah, I totally hear that point. And you know, I guess this is where we part ways, because, you know, in my way of thinking, it makes sense for women who have the babies to take the time off because they are biologically able, you know, breastfeeding and such, to care for the child directly, you know, if they want to be that primary caregiver. But that may change. I mean, with the way that women's participation in the workforce has increased, and just the ways I was talking about our economy has changed over, you know, recent decades, has positioned women to, you know, and now that they're, I think, maybe 25%. That's a figure I saw somewhere. That could be totally wrong, but yeah. They're getting more college degrees than men. And so they're more educated, and all of this can lead to their making more money than their male partners one day. And so we may see that actually flip. You know, I read in an article recently that in many parts of the country, it's predicted that women will be outpacing their male peers by 2025, which is just 8 years from now.
Yeah,
so I just kind of think, well, the economy is so rapidly moving that way anyway, thanks to these advances and thanks to women becoming more educated and having these opportunities, that do we really need government-mandated programs in order to get them somewhere that they're already going?
Yeah. And maybe not. And maybe that's only part of the purpose of the protest last week. It's partly to encourage government programs, and also partly to say to people who have no say whatsoever over government programs, hey, we still have this inequity for whatever reason. Maybe it's the pay inequity, maybe it's something secondary, but this is something that still needs to be addressed. If we're addressing it gradually, and will continue to over the next 8 years plus, that's great. But we can keep thinking about it and talking about it and doing it faster, and we can do that without government. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, right. And I'm totally all for talking about it and demonstrating it. It's just where we part ways is what the solution is.
Right, right.
So, you know, I want women to have equal pay for equal work. It's certainly, you know, and I want them to have the choice of, you know, whether they want to stay at home. I don't want there to be some taboo against men who want to stay at home. You know, if the woman is the breadwinner in the relationship, it makes sense for her to keep working and for him to stay at home. That's great. I think, you know, this is just, you know, it's sort of tangential, but it's more important for one of them just to be the primary caregiver, a steady primary caregiver, because there's so much evidence that prevents behavioral problems for children later on, you know, especially for the first couple of years of life. So.
Which leads me to raise the poverty issue, but then that's going to take us on like a 45-minute tangent, so maybe next time, but we're going to let you go in a second, but final thoughts?
Well, you know, I guess I'm interested to see what happens next. You know, as I touched on a second ago, I feel like, you know, with the strike there, I wonder how effective it was, because, you know, I saw one example of a person who, was, I guess, relatively wealthy, a woman who funded a striker that normally wouldn't have been able to take a day off of work because she would have just, you know, missed the money too much. And then that was considered a marker of success. And I was kind of confused, because it seemed that, you know, she could have used the money to help a woman go to college, get an aerospace engineering degree, or buy groceries for a single mother or something, and that would have put her money to better use. But, you know, I wonder if the demonstrations are going to continue to direct anger at third parties, like the parents of these school children. You know, we have to shut down the schools, versus, you know, having a more direct target or effect on what they perceived to be the problems, whether they're real or not. I mean, there are actually problems that people can put their efforts towards. And you know, just looking at the Women's March website, maybe they will take a more individualized view, because it seems to be their next thing. It's going to be local huddles, as they're calling them.
Yeah.
So we'll probably have some around here eventually. Maybe it will even expand to something that conservative women can participate in. We'll see.
And I would hope, and I think that's a good point about the wealthy woman funding the protester. I would hope if she's wealthy enough, then it's not a mutually exclusive thing. Like, she can fund the protester and the scholarship, that she doesn't have just enough money to do one or the other.
Right. No, I don't know. I just, you know, there's a brief mention of it in an article, but Yeah, maybe she'll consider that at least later on, if not now.
All right. Ashley Campbell, thank you so much.
Thank you.